If you're looking for the perfect gift, you're covered with a gift that's sure to wow. Taste of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's legendary deep dish pizzas nationwide. Plus, they ship other Windy City favorites too. Visit tasteofchicago.com to order today.
I have to change my password.
Okay.
All right.
You know,
the password.
And our system, you get these reminders.
Yep. 7 days or you're locked out.
Yeah.
Password.
I've been ignoring that for like 14 days.
All right.
Today was my final day. So I changed it, and now
now you can't get in.
Yeah. Not sure what I did.
Let's see. It's P-A-S-S-W-O-R-D, right?
Well, I changed my password to Schwani123.
Oh, nice.
Oh, now we're all going to be in trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think the system
you did
likes
not.
That. What?
You did not. Did what? You change it to that?
Yeah. Why? Do you want me to not use your name?
I don't care.
Do I have to pay you royalties now?
Yes, you do. Yes, the Schwani has been copyrighted.
Wouldn't surprise me if you did.
It is a registered trademark.
Would not surprise me.
It's a registered something.
And I'm going to change it back. Schwani is a dope 123. That would be a much better one, I think, here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
excuse me.
Oh, starting off in a
you know why? Note. You know why I haven't had my refreshing sip?
Oh, you haven't had your beverage yet.
Hang on. I get mine, too.
Mine, too. Here we go. Here we go.
20. Oh, that's good. Like, you sound like my German Shepherd drinking out of her bowl. Look at what are you drinking?
I don't want to know.
This is decaf coffee this morning.
I have a refreshing H2O.
I've got leaded coffee in here.
I've had my fill of the leaded coffee.
Yeah.
So this is the unleaded.
Look at us. What a remarkable.
So by 11:30 this morning, I'll be just so nice and relaxed. And
where's the real Schwani? The real Schwani is missing.
He's still on vacation.
He's still on vacation, bro.
Dean Richards, WGN.
Schwani, refresh my memory. This would be Vince Guaraldi's trio?
Vince Guaraldi's trio, yes.
Is that correct? Or the,
who had the big hit, Cast Your Fate to the Wind.
Linus and Lucy dance from a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Vince Guaraldi.
Fantastic.
Right.
I used to know all this stuff back in my smooth jazz days.
In fact, I just played this whole album just the other day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a nice album.
Trying to get out in the holiday spirit and found this one. I thought, I'm going to play this one.
It's a nice offering. Now, do you play it on vinyl, cassette, 8-track?
78.
78 RPM.
No, I have the CD.
Uncle Dean, what's 78 RPM?
I have it on a compact disc,
as they say.
Compact disc.
As you boomers like to say.
Compact disc.
You know, I got rid of most of my compact discs.
That's what you said. Yeah, you were cleaning house and got rid of most
purged.
Of them.
Purged. I did a major purge.
Got rid of most of mine, too.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, I remember 30 years ago, everybody was getting rid of their vinyl.
Right.
And I made some mistakes in doing that, too.
I got rid of my vinyl because I got tired of moving it. I got rid of my CDs because...
Got tired of looking at them?
I never...
Collecting dust?
I never used them.
Yeah.
I never used them.
And
it's a shame because I've spent quite a few years stealing from radio stations that I've worked
at. No, not you.
I got most of mine, too.
If you look at most of them, they say promotional copy.
Yeah, they got the little
not for sale.
They have the little slit in the arm, the little spine of it. Yeah.
Didn't read the fine print that says theft punishable by law?
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't read that part?
I'm sure I'm a fugitive in at least 48 states.
I've seen your face on post my offices rap sheet. Around the country.
You see rap sheet?
Mm-hmm.
Wanted, dangerous criminal for stealing CDs and albums.
See, we used to give them out to our staff at my radio station down in Peoria because a lot of us in the the downtown, we used to DJ high school dances and,
yeah,
stuff, and weddings and things of that nature.
Yeah,
so we needed to have all the current music.
Get off the floor. Wave your hands in the air like you just don't care.
Exactly. Chicken dance and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Chicken dance.
I'll tell you what, when I did weddings, that was the...
Chicken dance, that's the way I normally walk.
It was either in or out. There was no in between with the chicken dance.
Right.
Either the bride hated it or loved it.
Or loved it and wanted it.
Yep.
I'm a fan of the chicken dance.
Yeah, why not?
And the hokey pokey.
And the hokey pokey.
Exactly.
I love putting my left foot in.
You have two left feet, don't you?
I do. Yes, I was born that way. Don't make fun of me.
That's why he walks a lot of this.
Here we go.
It's from one of my favorite movies of all time, Best in Show, where Eugene Levy was talking about, well, you know, I can't dance. I have two left feet. I was born that way. And they take a shot of his two left feet. Stupid.
So stupid it was good.
Yep. So, here we are. Here we're all back again.
Band is back together.
Yep. Swanee has returned from his alleged vacation.
I had a wonderful week in the Virginia, Washington, D.C. area with my girlfriend, Gilda. Beautiful Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, I want you to know, Dean, I actually did some cooking.
What'd you make?
I made a cranberry dressing, cranberry sauce from the real berries. Not just out of a can.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's delicious. What'd you put in it? Oh,
this is as simple as it comes. Sugar and boiling water. And the berries. And that was it.
It's very delicious that
way. It was wonderful.
I like to put a little orange. I'll put some
orange zest in it.
I've put a little orange juice just to give it a little, different flavor profile. But your way is also very nice as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing better than homemade cranberry sauce.
It was very good. The whole dinner was good. Gilda's a great cook, too.
Nice of you to break your neck and make something so complicated. Poor Gilda's wrestling a bird in and out of the oven, and Trani's sitting there counting cranberries.
I was one, two, three.
I'm going to put some sugar in this.
And some boiling water.
That's nice.
You think it's done? What do you think?
Very nice. And did you go visit any place, do anything special?
We did a number of things, yes. First of all...
You're not one to just sit around on vacation.
Well,
you like to go places and do things and try to get stuff for free.
Well, didn't get anything for free, really, but we saw a wonderful production of A Christmas Carol at Ford's Theater.
Oh, really?
No less. Wonderful production there. And Gilda's studies musical theater, and her instructor was in the cast. She played Mrs. Cratchit.
Oh, very nice.
And it was a very well done performance. We'd seen it before, and it was very well done once again. But then on Black Friday, we did go out for a little bit.
Shopping.
And went shopping and went into one of their large shopping malls. And I don't know, I just had this feeling that there was a record store in the mall. And sure enough, there was. Actual record store.
Selling
records and rarities.
What kind of, you mean vinyl records?
Vinyl records.
Wow.
And I thought of you because, I'm not kidding, we were looking at 45 RPMs. Records, 45 records.
Uncle Dean, what's a 45 RPM record?
Now, this is why I thought of you, because there was a lady and a young boy with her who did not know what that was.
Of course not.
And didn't know how to play them or how they were playing.
Of course, why would they?
We were laughing so hard. But I bought...
Sir, how do you download these?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I bought? You know what I bought?
Freddie and the Dreamers, I'm telling you now.
No. I bought an original pressing of one of the great Temptations songs ever, I Can't Get Next to You.
Oh, that's...
And then I found, remember the group Toto?
Oh, of course.
Found a original pressing of a song they had,
Africa?
Rosanna? No.
Oh, Rosanna.
From the same
album.
Toto 4.
From the same album, yeah.
You're so
a
yacht rock.
Oh, speaking
you
of
are
yacht,
so yacht rock.
That brought me back to my WFYR days.
That's right.
Did you see the documentary yet?
I have.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there's a fantastic...
Juan Toto?
On Yacht Rock.
Oh, on Yacht Rock.
On Yacht HBO Rock. Max. Holy mackerel, is that good.
Yeah, if you're a fan of the genre, or really, just if you're a fan of music from the 70s and 80s that encompasses the Doobie Brothers, Toto, Christopher Cross.
Oh, yeah. All the good. Ambrosia,
yeah, sure. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it explores how Yacht Rock started and how it got named. And
yeah, how did it, the name seems rather apropos, but how did that come about?
It was a
Where did the term come from?
It was
from?
A web series by a bunch of comedians way back when. And they were just goofing on things, and they called the genre Yacht Rock.
Yeah.
And it stuck.
It fits.
Yeah.
It fits.
Now, these vinyl, did you buy 45s
yes.
of these?
Yes, I did.
What are you going to do with them?
I'm going to play them. You have this amazed look on your face.
You're going to sit there in like your dark apartment?
Then he's going to play them backwards.
I'm going to add them to my collection. I never had these records before.
Schwani and his 15 cats in the dark apartment.
Now, did you buy the plastic? Did you buy the plastic adapters to be able to play on your turntable?
I've had several of them at home right now.
Okay.
Okay, well, good.
Hey. And I'm going to get out that Pez dispenser that you bought me for Christmas a few years
ago. You know what? If you get enjoyment out of all this, Schwani, that's all that matters.
That's right.
That's all that matters.
That's right. But you continue
that's
to make fun
that
of
That's all that matters
me.
To me is that you get pleasure out of all this.
Sure.
Oh, man.
Okay, so
what are you going to do with them? I'm going to play them.
So you're going to play them, and then what? Three
well,
minutes and 44
ends,
seconds later, then what are you going
to
do?
Well, I'll find something else to play then. Maybe I can just concoct my pretend radio station like I did over 50 years ago now.
Oh, you know what? I shouldn't even tell you this, but I found some old cassettes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes.
Uh-oh.
I was going through a bunch of stuff that I've been hoarding and cleaning out stuff, and I was like, what's this box of cassettes? And it's Lil Dean Diamond playing DJ.
We've got to have this on the show. We have to play these.
Will never happen in a million years.
We have to play them.
I found air checks for my first DJing job in Peoria.
Wow.
I can't even imagine.
Did you play him recently? Did you listen to him?
I have to find a cassette player.
No. Andy said he found it.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty bad.
I got a text message from
Here's Herman's Hermits.
I'm
Dean Diamond.
Did you sing along with things like Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely
dog? I didn't really do any sing along. I let the music do its talking.
And the audience appreciates that, you know.
Yeah.
I got a text from a friend I went really to high school and college with, and he was at home digitizing some things and sent me a file of an air check from college. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm afraid to.
Well, these tapes, I haven't seen these tapes. I haven't heard them in many years. I didn't even know I had tapes, cassettes from back then. I'll listen to them, and if they're not horrifyingly embarrassing, I mean, if they are horrifyingly embarrassing, that makes them entertaining.
Yeah.
But
I also found an air check of a basketball game I did in high school.
Oh, wow.
Back in Maine East.
Fun. Yeah. That would be fun to listen
to. Found that.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad too.
Is it really though?
It's not real good.
Yeah, I can't even imagine the level of embarrassing that these tapes must be. These go back to late 60s maybe.
Oh, nice.
Late 60s, yeah, I think so.
And I made sure that I erased the one and only attempt that I made at play-by-play announcing.
That would have been good.
Oh, no, that's when I learned very early on, Dave, don't even think about it. So.
We'll see. I ran it. I found these tapes.
That's awesome.
I have to When I was in college, yes, I went to college. That could have happened.
Who was questioning it?
Everybody.
Okay.
In one of my classes, we were assigned to do a profile of Radio Today. And I did one that included, you know, was my view of what the radio spectrum was like today that included John Records Leyendecker.
Oh, nice.
Who, I don't know if you know, is featured on most of the same station. And I mentioned it to John a long time ago, and he said, oh, I'd love to hear that. And I didn't know that I had still had the tape from that. I do. I found the tape yesterday.
That's so awesome.
So, okay, then we have to hear these.
Hidden gems.
Yes.
Now, I'll grant you, it's a great way of killing time on the show, and I'm all for that.
We have 4 hours.
I got nothing. On most weeks, if you've listened to the show, we have nothing better, really. So we may as well dig out some of the old junk from back then.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to find that tape then from my morning show, Morning Madness.
Oh,
it was called.
Oh.
Morning Madness.
Yeah, Morning Madness with Dave Schwab. Yeah. Coming up next, Dean Diamond with I'm Henry the Eighth, I am.
Keeping you company.
Oh, brother. And you wonder why we're weird as adults.
This is what happens.
This would explain it all. All right. So, well, maybe in coming, that might be a nice thing to play over the holidays.
Yeah.
Things are slow over the holidays. You know, if nothing else, it'll make other people feel better about themselves.
Because they haven't ended up like this.
Yeah, they're not as dorky as we are. Maybe it'll make you feel better about your
own. Now, next hour, I must ask what type of cassette tape you were using and what type of machinery.
I have no idea. I don't remember.
You don't know?
I don't remember any of that. And naturally, I found these tapes last night, and I wanted to play them. I don't have a cassette player in the house.
Oh, man. I do. I'll be happy to bring it in.
Can I rent it?
Sure. Go ahead, name the price.
Sounds like a lot of trouble.
Name the price.
Sounds like a lot of trouble. Coming up on the show today, we have one of the biggest A-listers in the world, who I spoke with yesterday, actually, Mr. Timothy Chalamet. He portrays Bob Dylan in his brand new movie, A Complete Unknown, which I've seen, and I'll tell you a little about the movie. And we'll share my conversation with Mr. Chalamet coming up a little bit later on. Chicago's very own WGN. Time for the Week in Health. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Dean, good morning. Good to talk to you.
Good to have you with us here this week. We went through unprecedented cold, at least unprecedented in the last year anyway, in the Chicago area. Is there a result of that? Are you seeing more people in the emergency room because of the cold weather, exposure, hypothermia, all the usual?
I think you do, and particularly in those populations that are at risk, folks that, particularly folks that don't have a place to stay, are particularly impacted by that. But, I think folks it's easy to get caught up in the fun of the season, and there's a lot of great things going on outside, football games and other activities, that it's easy to lose track, particularly when alcohol is involved. And so you can get cold pretty quickly.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the alcohol factor. People are doing their outside activities and maybe spiking their beverages with a little bit of alcohol. Is that good or bad in the cold weather?
It doesn't help. It reduces your body's ability to sense when it's cold. You feel warm because your metabolism is changing, but you're actually losing heat quickly. And so very, very important that if you're going outside and it's cold, or if it's cool and wet, which can be just as bad as very cold weather, be dressed accordingly, gloves, hat, scarf, etc.
What is the best way to dress for weather like that? You know, everyone says layers is the way to go. Do you agree with that?
When you're saying when it's cold and wet, or just freezing cold?
Freezing cold is what I was thinking, but either way. To me, cold and wet is way worse than anything else.
Well, yes, because you have that extra sort of aspect of the evaporative cooling. When the water gets on your skin, the heat goes into the water droplets, and then the water droplets carry the heat away from your body. So it's not just heat passing passively in the environment; it's through the moisture as well. But layers is absolutely the way to go, because you can layer them on and peel them off as you warm up. But that gives you an extra layer of protection when you start to shiver or get cold. And certainly a hat is so important. We do lose somewhere around 30% of our heat through our heads. And those of us who are unfortunate not to have a full head of hair, thinking of myself, a hat can be key. But also, don't forget mittens or gloves. It is easy to get frostbite outside when it's cold, so gloves are also important.
You know, my well into adulthood, my mother would tell me, "Put a hat on. You're a bald man. Put your hat on."
your mom was spot on, Dean.
Thanks for reminding me. I'm a bald man. Number one, but yes, I know what to put a hat on. I'm a grown man. I know to put a hat on. But I appreciate that she cared enough to say such a thing. But why is that we lose all the heat off the top of our heads like that?
There's a big blood supply to the scalp and face. And so those, that's where the heat gets lost, is in the blood vessels. Blood vessels carry blood, and the heat is in the blood, and then the heat escapes as the vessels get close to the skin. And that the head and neck just have a ton of that coverage.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. That's I never understood that. I just figure it's at the top of my body. You know, heat rises. That must be that's where it's going. Just like it does in your house.
That it does. So I don't know. Maybe lay down.
Right. Or stand on your head or something. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is the optimal? You talked about wrapping yourself in layers. When you go outside, is there a beverage of choice that actually is a good one to have when you're outside? I'm thinking hot cocoa, but maybe there's something else that is even better.
Anything that's warm, hot cocoa, hot tea, even speaking of moms, my mom always had the hot water with her, which I can never understand or wrap my mind around, but she used that to stay warm. So anything that's warmed up is going to be a good thing.
What do you mean, Gia? Hot water, like in a hot water bottle or in a thermos, or
in a thermos? She would sip the hot water and stay warm because she loves water. So and listen, she's probably going to outlive all of us.
Okay, all right. Well, it would have never occurred to me to do that, but that makes such perfect sense. To
sure.
Warm up some water, put it in your fancy coffee mugs that you're walking around with these days, these coffee thermoses, because that's better than coffee, right? Coffee has its downsides when you're trying to warm up, right?
I think the key is heat. So I'd be less focused on the type of drink and more focused on the fact that it's warm. It's going to warm you from the inside, literally the inside out. Yeah, and I think, Dean, the other key is knowing how to spot if you, or particularly if your child is becoming cold. There are some hallmarks of, hey, it's time to get inside. I can certainly talk about some of those.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back more with Dr. Jeremy Silver in just a moment. And your questions for the doctor? 312-981-7200. We love hearing from you. Right now, it's Dr. Jeremy Silver, our weekend health feature. And from our text line, Dr. Silver, the question, how do I know if I have whooping cough? I hear all about it in the news lately. How do I know the difference between that and just a regular old cough?
Great question. Yeah, we are definitely seeing an increase in whooping cough and otherwise known as pertussis. That is a brutal cough that you just are coughing and coughing and coughing to the point where you may even break little blood vessels around your eyes and your face.
Oh, wow.
So that can absolutely be a sign in kids and adults. I mean, it's just this persistent cough that won't seem to stop. So if your primary concern is the cough, definitely go get checked out because there's treatments and you shouldn't have to live like that. It's miserable.
Is it is the treatment something to stop the coughing, or is it to suppress the coughing? In other words, the cause is still there. You're just getting rid of the symptoms, or is it something which works to break whatever is causing the coughs in the first place?
All of the above. So there are antibiotics that can actually kill the underlying pathogen. And then there's medicine that can help break up the sputum or the schmutz in your lungs that you feel like you can't get it up. And then there's medicine to actually help with the suppress the cough so you can get some rest at night and feel rested for the morning.
Yeah, I remember back in the day I had just a terrible cough, and my doc said that like the more that I was coughing and irritating things, the worse it was going to get, that we needed to suppress the irritation in order to get things to calm down.
Well, coughing's good in the sense that your body saying, you know, hey, there's something in the lungs you need to get rid of. But too much of a good thing definitely can apply, and it can hurt. It can make your lungs sore, and of course, it trying to get sleep at night when you're coughing is miserable as well.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people coughing. I wondered if it's the whooping cough that everybody is talking about. This is Julie calling in from Wisconsin with a question for Dr. Silver. Hi, Julie, you're on WGN.
Hi, good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I'm kind of a head case. So I have to tell you real quick, I'll tell you what happened to me. 2 years ago, I had emergency surgery. I had a ruptured peptic ulcer. I had to have emergency surgery. I had a gram patch. I came out of surgery and had blood clots like everywhere. Had to have surgery, put some stents in a couple blood clots in my legs, and I had it in my blood clots in my veins and my arteries. I was in the hospital for the ICU for 15 days. I had to have a blood transfusion, and we never have figured out where, you know, why I had got the blood clots and why I had the ulcer. So now I'm on Eliquis twice a day, 25 milligram twice a day, and the lowest dose you can be on. And I'm taking pantoprazole for the ulcer because all the tests they did on me, you know, it wasn't the, you know, I didn't have the acidity level or the hepatitis, what, no cancer. Am I going to have to be on this pantoprazole the rest of my life? I mean, I know I'm going to have to be on Eliquis.
Now, I know Eliquis, doctor, if I'm correct, it's a blood thinner. Is that correct?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
And this other medication, is that like sort of not antacid, but that's something for ulcers or, you know, that kind of disorder. Is that right?
Correct. It's a pantoprazole is an acid reducer.
So what do you think for Julie
tough
here?
Questions. Yeah, Julie, first of all, it sounds like you made it through an incredible experience, and I mean incredible in every possible way. So I'm glad that you're here with us to tell us the story. And you're not alone. There are many people that develop blood clots and other conditions like the ulcer you mentioned, and the medical team just is at a loss to figure out why. And so, you know, there's certainly a plethora of doctors out there, and I always support getting a second opinion if you're still feeling like you're trapped or you'd like answers. But sometimes, just at this where we are in the learning curve of medicine, sometimes it's just very, very difficult to understand the why. But I wish you really good luck, and it sounds like you're on the right track.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. That is a lot for somebody to have to go through and, you know, try to digest and to understand. We have time for one final question on our text line. And this is a question that we get every week. We answer it every week. Yet people keep asking the question every week. So I guess we'll keep answering the question every week. Is it okay for me to get my flu shot and COVID vaccine at the same time?
Yes.
For the 100th time, yes.
It's also, by the way, Dean, it's also perfectly fine to space them out if you want to. There's no harm in either way, but why not knock it out in one session?
I guess the question being, you know, for possible side effects, that's what people have said in the past. Possible side effects for, do I get them in the same arm? Do I get them in different arms? Because there's going to be discomfort that follows
that. That's actually a really interesting point you bring up, if you have two more seconds, Dean. There was a study at one point, and I can't tell you which one it was, but they looked at which arm you got the vaccine in. And for those that switched arms, they had a better response, and there's a thought that maybe there's localized immune centers that you can tune up. So there may be something to that. The other quick comment I'll make is that if you do have a tendency to have allergic reactions, if you space the vaccines out, the advantage to that is that if you have a reaction, then you know it was probably to that particular shot, as opposed to getting three vaccines at once. You have an allergic reaction, let's say, and then you don't know, was it the flu, was it the COVID, et cetera.
Yeah.
So there may be some strategic advantage there.
All right. Well, until next week when somebody else asks exactly the same question, we'll deal with that then. Dr. Jeremy Silver, always great information. Always great to talk to you. Have a great Sunday, Doc. Thank you.
Dean, pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Jeremy Silver. Andy's got a long day today.
Yes, I do.
Hampton OB and Andy Mazur.
2 p.m.
2 p.m.
And then back after the game, right around 6:30 or so, 6:30 to 8:30.
That's a long day for you.
Yeah, but it's okay. I brought some lunch from home. We'll get fed during the game, and it'll be fine. I think it's fine.
It's all about the food.
Well, you know, I am a growing boy.
You are. Schwani, in your newscast, you always say that Hampton OB with Andy Mazur.
Yes.
I think it should be the other way around.
Okay. Starring Andy Mazur with Hampton OB.
The Andy Mazur Show with Hampton OB.
Okay.
You're always trying to get me beaten up, aren't you?
I think so. I just want you to get the proper credit. You're the ringmaster of that.
Yeah.
The ringmaster.
You're the one in there with the whip and chair.
The chair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun so far because the Bears have played
miserably,
pathetic football over the last 6 weeks,
right. And the worse they play, the more fun it is.
That's
to
what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, it's like appointment radio if they lose.
I'm sorry, I missed the post game, especially the post game after the last game there.
Yeah, but this will be the first show since the firing of the Flues.
Yeah.
So we'll get their thoughts on that as well.
Should be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Starting at 2 o'clock today.
Correct.
And then post game is
6:30-ish.
6:30-ish.
Yep.
Today. What are you contributing today, Schwani?
Oh, I think it's fine.
He's gonna be listening to his 45s. Kicking back.
Yeah, right. The game doesn't start till later, so I'm just gonna I'll play my 45 RPM records.
You know, we were talking about Schwani bought some actual 45 RPM records. When he was on vacation, you know, like everyone does when they go on vacation.
But the record store just happened to be there.
Yeah.
And I
You know, like every tourist destination has a 45 RPM record store.
Of course.
We got a bunch of texts about that. This one was my favorite, though. It said, Dean, I bought my daughter a small record player a few years ago when she was 16. A couple of teachers from her school gave her a few albums. And I asked her if she played the other sides of the album, and she looked at me in awe.
What other side?
And said, there's music on the other side? What are you talking about?
Dean Richards on a Windy City weekend, WGN.
Got a nice email from somebody this week that said they look forward to hearing this intro that we use every hour here on the Sunday morning show, the Sunday morning song from Earth, Wind, and Fire, because that means that we're going to have some fun here on Sunday morning. Isn't that nice?
That's very nice.
Very nice. That's your signal to that something stupid is about to happen.
I wonder if this is on a 45.
What is it with you and the 45s?
Come on now. When we were growing up and young, couldn't wait, you heard a song on the radio?
Yeah, I used to eat paste then also. I stopped doing that. What's wrong with downloading music? Are you familiar with that phrase, download music?
Yes, I am.
Where you could put all your 45s in one place? I've got all those songs that you have. I've got them on my phone.
You've got them on your phone.
And I can play them.
How much fun is it to just click and drag into your phone here, where you can take the record out of the sleeve and look at the label and read the serial number? And
I'd rather eat paste. That was my go-to. That was my go-to thing to shock people in school when I would.
Remember paste, those not little glue, though, right?
Yeah, no, the little.
You didn't do the glue. Yeah.
No, because it smelled and surprisingly tasted quite nice. Mm. It's like toothpaste. I'm sure it wasn't good for me.
Did you have the one with the little brush that was in the jar?
Yes. Yes.
That's what you used.
I'd slather it on my tongue.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Idiot. Idiot kid.
You said it.
Oh, you wonder why I am the way I am today.
That's great.
You know what else I used to do? I would take Elmer's glue and smear it all over my hand.
And then let it dry, right?
And let it dry. Yep. And then you peel it off.
Yep.
And you have like it's like you're peeling off your skin. And it grossed out all the girls.
Okay, I'm going to.
You wonder why
now.
I spent most of my time in school out in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder why. You wonder why.
Oh, if we had gone to the same grade school together,
Lord,
trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to acknowledge a sad story that we learned about yesterday. I think it was, or the day before, the passing of the great Dan Fabian, who was, when I joined WGN, was the vice president and general manager, but started off here as an intern at WGN, worked his way up through the ranks, through sales and programming, became the program director. Bob Collins famously called him the memo fairy, and he passed away the other day. I did not hear the cause of death. Did you guys?
I did not. Yeah. No. They broke the news on Friday.
Late Friday. Yeah. That's when I guess I heard. But I'm very, very sad because he was the nicest man. He's the one who hired me here at WGN. If it wasn't for him, there would be no me here for the last, 30-something years on WGN. Gave me a call and said, are you ready to move up to real radio?
Is that what he said?
Yeah. Gave me a call. He actually tried to hire me twice. And one time I was not available. I couldn't get out of the contract that I had wherever I was then. And the second time I was, and he gave me a call just like out of nowhere. Are you ready to come and do some real radio? and brought me over, and I've been here since. So I owe him a tremendous, tremendous amount of gratitude and thanks. But he was kind of a visionary. Marched to his own beat, for sure. You know, but, you know, directed WGN into being the powerhouse that it was. He created most of the things that you know and love. He hired Spike. He was, you know, responsible for so many of the things that we learned on WGN, and that was all because of Dan Fabian. So I tip my hat, that's for sure.
I also believe that he was the one that made the decision when Wally Phillips stepped away from the morning program to bring in Bob Collins.
Move Bob to the mornings.
Yeah.
He also commissioned Steve Goodman to write Go Cubs Go.
That's correct.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Which is why you have the line, you can hear it all on WGN.
Correct. That's correct.
And he hired the Beach Boys to do a Cubs open back in 87.
Cubs.
Here come the Cubs.
Right.
Yep.
Ivy on the wall, sun up in the sky.
Yeah, Cubby's on a roll with all
on the
high.
Old Barbara Ann song.
Yeah. All Dan Fabian.
Yep.
All Dan Fabian. Heck of a guy. And he would frequently listen to the Sunday morning show, probably sitting at home wondering, why did I ever hire him? What did I do? No, he would call or text me during the show. With just, little additions to, you know, I heard you talking about such and such. Don't forget blah, blah, blah. You know, he would give me some little insight that nobody would know except him. Super, 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 super nice guy. And I owe him a debt of gratitude. I will always smile when I think about Dan Fabian.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Guess who's turning 99 years old in a few days?
99.
5 days from now, Dick Van Dyke will turn 99 years old.
Wow.
He was part of a tribute that was put together by Chris Martin of Coldplay. Maybe you have some of his 45, Schwann.
No. You mean Dick Van Dyke?
Well, you may have a chitty chitty bang bang,
bang
45
yes.
of his. But I was talking about Coldplay.
It may have a Chim Chim Cheree from Mary Poppins.
Coldplay and Chris Martin. Chris Martin apparently is a huge fan of Dick Van Dyke and did a tribute song, which is so beautiful, that's been put into a video that will reduce you to tears when you hear it. I'm going to play it in a few minutes. It's not quite as powerful just to listen to because Dick Van Dyke does a lot. At 98 years old now, he does a lot of dancing in this video. And it's worth looking on YouTube to take a look at it all. We did a wonderful interview with Dick Van Dyke a few years ago. I'm going to dig that up, and I'm going to share that with you this morning as well. That's all coming right up. Next week will be the 99th birthday, believe it or not, for the great Dick Van Dyke, a classic performer not only from his own television show, but for classics like Mary Poppins and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, his many television appearances through the years, and he appears occasionally at award shows and things now, approaching 99 years old in just 5 days. He participated in a special tribute song that was put together by Chris Martin of the group Coldplay. And this was a song called All My Love, in which Dick Van Dyke, on it, you hear him talking, and he's doing dancing at his home, talking about mortality and you know, what he has done in his life and what the future holds. It's very, very interesting. Now, I'm telling you right now, find some time today and go to YouTube and look it up so you can see it with him dancing and, you know, get the full visual experience. But it's still, I think, pretty powerful. Chris Martin from the Grammy Award-winning group Coldplay, paying tribute to the great Dick Van Dyke with the song All My Love.
Chris, shall we?
We've been through low, been through sunshine, been through snow. Of the weather.
Sunday morning, Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Another potent, another show.
Opening night. It's opening night.
Another opening of another show.
Hear the people sing, sing the song of angry men. It is a new.
It's 10:37. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for our Week in Theater segment. And this week, we focus on the return of Les Miserables to the Chicago area. Truly one of the most popular stage musicals of all time. I think one of the most spectacular, seen by over 130 million people worldwide. In 53 countries, 438 cities, 22 languages, Les Mis is coming back to the Chicago area. How lucky we are to have it coming to the big stage at the Cadillac Palace Theater in the downtown theater district. It will open December 17th and play there through January the 5th. And joining us to talk about it is one of the cast members, Victoria Houston Elm, who plays Madame Thénardier. Victoria, part of this amazing cast. Welcome to WGN. Nice to have you with us.
Hello, hello, hello. So wonderful to be on the radio.
Yeah. Well, you're not in Chicago now already, are you?
Not yet, but we will be in about a week.
Yeah. So you're touring at the moment.
Yes, we're currently in Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
So it's still cold, but it's not quite Chicago.
Yeah. you pick a great time of year to come to the Chicago area. But how lucky for us, though, that you're going to be here for the holidays, because this is one of the classic shows of all time. To have it, have it here during the holiday season is a special treat, certainly for us. It must be something very special for you to be part of this production as well, is it?
Oh, absolutely. This show's been around for almost as long as I've been alive, and it just gets better with age, honestly. It has something for everyone. It is a timeless classic, and I have the great privilege of providing the comedy, which in a show like this is an absolute gift.
Yeah, it's we're going to play a little clip in just a minute so people get a little sampling of that. There aren't too many shows that are as big as this one in terms of what you're seeing on the stage, is it? I mean, it's got to be quite a bit of choreography just in people and sets and things like that while you're trying to perform, right?
Oh yeah, I mean the show that you as a theater goer get to see is really only half of what the show actually is. I mean, which is not to say that you're receiving in any way less than you should. You're getting a beautiful show, but there is also the great dance of what we're all doing backstage to make that magic happen for you. I mean, this show is 11 tractor trailer trucks worth of sets and props and costumes and wigs, and there are so many elements, and it requires so many people to make it work that you would be amazed to see the choreography of what it takes, especially in the first maybe half an hour to 40 minutes of the show. Our ensemble, our absolute rock star ensemble, I mean, their chairs are piled high with clothing because they come off stage and they're changing costumes every time they come off stage. Yeah. It is outrageous.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I've always wanted to come backstage with a camera to show what's going on back there. But then I thought, that's going to, I don't want to pull the curtain back. You know, I don't want to give it away, the magic of what's happening and how you all, you know, somehow managed to put all of this together. Victoria, what do you think is the magic of Les Mis? What is it about the, is it the story? Is it the music? What is it that makes the show so long lasting?
Honestly, I think it's how all of those elements come together. It's like a perfect constellation of elements. There is the timeless score, this music that has rung true for people for almost 40 years. I Dreamed a Dream, Bring Him Home, these songs that are moments in people's lives that they resonate with you for years and years. And then you have this particular production and how it's been designed and how the costumes shine under the lights and how the projections are Victor Hugo's actual paintings, because he was a painter in his own right. And the story itself has something that connects with everyone. It's about redemption. It's about the survival of the human spirit. There's something for everybody to connect with, really, with everything that we've gone through in the last couple of years. How can you not?
Yeah, it's incredibly poignant how a story that was set and written, really, so many years ago is still so very relevant to the world situation. If you just listen to the news today of what's going on, it's not that different from what's being, you know, minus the songs, not that different from what's being described, what you see on stage.
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, I feel like we as humans are always fighting for a better world. And I think in that context, the show will always be relevant.
Let me take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about Les Mis coming to the Chicago Cadillac Palace Theater. Have you seen this Cadillac Palace Theater at all, Victoria?
This is, I think, my third time at the Cadillac Palace, and I love this theater. I'm very excited to come back to Chicago.
What have you done at the Cadillac before?
The last time I was there would have been with Finding Neverland. I think that was either 2016 or 2017.
Wow, how about that? Yeah, it's just a gorgeous palace, isn't it? This is the kind of theater made for a show like this, in my opinion.
Absolutely, it's stunning.
It is going to be December 17th through January the 5th. I'll tell you how to get tickets, and we'll talk more about Les Mis in just a minute. Madame Thénardier. Am I pronouncing that properly, Victoria? I feel like I'm butchering it every time I say it.
Okay.
Say it again.
Thénardier.
Well, I was pretty close to it.
Yeah, you're very close.
I was very close to it. Talk to me a little bit about taking on this really funny role.
Honestly, it's a little bit daunting to be the one carrying the comedy. Thankfully, I have my partner in crime, Matt Kroll, who is arguably a comedic genius. But when you're working on a show that has so many rich themes, to be responsible for giving the audience a break and giving them something to laugh about, that's you know, there's a little bit of pressure there. But it is so much fun. I have fun every night. I get to go out there and be silly and do make big physical choices and know that my partner in crime literally is there to catch me if I fall. We have the best time. I love my job.
And also, you don't have to get all glammed up, do you?
Do you know what's funny? I think I'm actually wearing the most makeup out of anybody on that stage.
Is that right?
Yeah, because everyone else is pretty natural. You know, maybe a little mascara, a little lip gloss. And I'm up there in these huge fake eyebrows and covered in acne, and it's something.
Yeah, it takes a lot to create that, doesn't it?
it really does, but it's worth it.
Yeah, Master of the House, I guess, is, you know, one of the most signature songs from the show that you and your partner do. But there are so many other great and timeless songs from Les Mis as well. Which ones get the biggest reaction during the production of the show?
I would say, I mean, Bring Him Home stops the show pretty much every night. Also, On My Own, I Dreamed a Dream. I mean, the big heartfelt classics always people just erupt.
Yeah, it's a spectacular production, and it's coming to the Chicago area. It will be here in, let me see here, I've got the dates conveniently just out of reach.
I think you said it was December 17th until January 5th, something like that?
Yeah, that sounds about right, sure.
Somewhere in that bracket.
Oh, here it is, yes, December 17th. Through January the 5th. This was
I got that right.
You got to give the girl credit. You got to give the girl credit. This was so much easier when we just put things on paper and not on computer screens.
Come on, man. We're on the radio. This is my childhood here. I'm loving this.
Here you go. BroadwayInChicago.com is how you get tickets for it all. Talk to me a little about your history here in the Chicago area. You've obviously played here several times.
I have. I've come through Chicago a number of times. My college roommate lives in Chicago, so I'm really excited to get to see her. All of my tours, I was on the Addams Family. I did Finding Neverland. I've come through to visit friends and family. My counterpart, Matt, who I mentioned before, is a Chicago native. He lives there with his wife and his two dogs. So, I mean, he's looking forward to Chicago for 3 weeks.
Some getting back home for a little while. Is it? Is it more difficult to be on the road in a national tour like this, as opposed to being on Broadway or in one city for a very long time?
I think every job has its challenges. Broadway would only be easier for me in that I live and have my home residence in Manhattan. And so I'd be home and I'd have my things available to me. And tour life, you do sort of have to get used to traveling almost every week and living in hotels and not necessarily having the comforts of, your own kitchen or all of the clothing you might wish you had with you at all times. But there's also a lot of beauty and excitement in a life on the road. I mean, I'm going to be in Chicago for the holidays, and that's where several people who I've known since college and love very much will be, and who I otherwise would not be getting to see. And what a gift that is.
Yeah, what a treat to have you here in Chicago in one of the greatest musicals of all time, Les Misérables. It'll be here at the Cadillac Palace Theater December 17th through January the 5th, and you get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. Victoria Houston Elma, we appreciate you joining us, and we look forward to saying hello in person when you get to town.
Oh, please do. I'd love to shake your hand.
It would be my pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. Take care. See you then.
All right. Bye-bye. 10:51 is the time. WGN talking about the classic songs from this show. Maybe the one of the most classic is done by the character Fantine, the classic I Dreamed a Dream.
There was a time when men were kind, when their voices were soft and their words inviting.
Talking about old 45 records, 45 RPM records back in the day. I had this one on 45, Swanee.
Did you?
My 45 collection.
Okay, what label was it on?
Columbia.
Right. Did it end? It had the red...
Red Columbia,
Columbia
label.
Okay.
We are such dorks. Who would know that? Except two dorks. Welcome to the Two Dorks.
Did it have
show.
The block style lettering, or was it the more fancy script writing that they came out
with? Yeah, that I don't remember. You beat me being a dork on that. But this new movie that's about to come out on Christmas Day, called The Complete Unknown, features actor Timothy Chalamet as Bob Dylan in the movie. I saw the movie the other day. And I'm not going to tell you too much about it. I don't want to spoil it, but he is really good as Bob Dylan. He's amazing. He does his own singing. He sounds like Bob Dylan. I think this is going to be a movie that you know, a lot of people of a certain age, Schwani, meaning us, old people.
Especially that song there, sure.
Right. How does it feel?
We saw posters for the movie when we went to see Wicked a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you went to see Wicked?
Yes, we went to see Wicked.
No, you went to see Wicked.
Very enjoyable, wonderful movie, everything all around. I give it an A+.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Not only that, I told some friends, you know, go see it in IMAX, and we saw it in 3D.
Oh, really?
Yes. That was awesome.
I didn't even know it was playing
in 3D. It was offered in IMAX or 3D, yeah. And we got the official glasses.
Right.
And
always very attractive.
Mm-hmm, yep. And went in, and boy, I tell you, it really comes to life.
Well, the movie Wicked just explodes with color and imagination and story and songs. And it's, to me, one of the best movies of the year. This Bob Dylan movie, I mean, it's a completely different
thing. I want to go see this one now. Yeah.
But it's definitely something that I know that you will enjoy in particular, but I think a lot of people will. I talked with Timothy Chalamet one-on-one the other day, and we'll share that interview coming up in a few minutes. And I just like to say how I showed restraint. I didn't do my Bob Dylan impersonation for him.
Oh, okay, good.
When I was talking. Hey, Timothy, how are you doing?
We are the world.
They stone you when you're trying to get
home.
Click.
Everybody wants...
Yeah, there goes the connection. Yeah, click.
Sorry.
I bet a lot of people did do that. I'm a big Timothy Chalamet fan. He was Willy Wonka. He's been in Dune. He's been in so many great movies. This kid, I don't think he's 30 years old yet, is absolutely amazing. And we'll share that interview coming up in just a couple of minutes. I wanted to talk about, we've been talking about things that have happened on this day in history. He talked about the Day of Infamy speech, the famous FDR speech before Congress.
Yep.
Following the attack on Pearl Harbor.
83 years ago today.
Wow. Isn't that unbelievable?
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's still just like a drop in the bucket in terms of history.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about, you know, September 11th, how long ago that was?
That's been 23 years.
Doesn't that seem like...
It boggles your mind.
A minute ago.
Yeah.
That happened. Also on this day in history, something horrible happened, and a lot of people found out about it when they were watching Monday Night Football, the assassination of John Lennon.
Right.
On the streets of New York City.
That's been, 43 years? Was that 1980?
1980.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly, 1980. The news was conveyed to us by, of all people, Howard Cosell. Let me see if I can find what the game was. It was a Dolphins-Patriots game, Monday Night Football, December 8th, 1980. And this is what it sounded like.
Third down, four. Foreman. It'll be fourth down. Kavanaugh will let it run down for one final attempt. He'll let the seconds tick off to give Miami no opportunity whatsoever. Timeout is called. 3 seconds remaining. John Smith is on the line. And I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game, no matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. To go back to the game after that news flash, which in duty we had to take. Frank?
Indeed it is. 3 seconds remain. John Smith.
Off the hands of Rose, the tight end. Alertly, Nat Moore got the touchdown. They blocked the field goal attempt of John Smith. Now they battle in overtime. Delvin Williams. Delvin Williams.
Taken quickly there. It was number 85,
Julius Adams.
Gain of a yard. It'll be 3rd and 7.
In case the folks missed the earlier news flash, ABC News has confirmed that John Lennon, a member of the famed Beatles, maybe the best-known member, was shot twice in the back outside of his apartment building in the west side of New York tonight, rushed to the Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. An unspeakable tragedy. Details on Nightline 30 minutes after the end of this contest.
How about that? How do you go back to like calling a football game after you just announced
that's not easy.
Horrible murder that's taken place. I guess something only Howard Cosell could do. But that's really how most of the world found out about the death of John Lennon. They were watching football that night.
That's how I found out. Yeah. I was watching a game
You were watching the game that night. Yep. Yeah. We went, Shawnee, back then, I was on WCFL. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Big Ten.
You'd already made the jump then.
Had already made the jump.
I was still in Hammond. Hadn't quite come to Chicago yet.
Really?
Yeah, I was at WJOB in Hammond when that happened.
I thought you had come downtown.
No, the June of 81 is when I came here.
I was at Apollo Junior High School in Des Plaines for the
Thank you.
I got a phone call. I was actually sleeping because I was doing the morning show when the football game was on. I was sleeping. And somebody called me and said, "You better wake up. This is what you're going to be dealing with tomorrow." We put together a day of remembrances for John Lennon. But I wasn't surprised, but it was really like the first time our generation had anything like that happen, in which part of our youth was killed. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
John Lennon, who provided so much of the soundtrack of our younger lives with all of, the Beatles songs, shot right on the streets of New York. How ironic is that with the story?
Right outside the Dakota, that very famous apartment building.
Where they lived. Yeah. Where he and Yoko and their young son, Sean, at the time lived. And but it was like people couldn't even speak. They were, so grief-stricken that not only that John Lennon had been killed, but part of their childhood, part of their youth, was so violently extinguished.
I remember reading an account here a few years ago that James Taylor was in New York around the same time and very close to the building and was on the phone with someone in Los Angeles. And Taylor said, "Something's going on outside here. I don't know what the commotion is all about. I'll have to call you back." And so he hung up the phone, and a few minutes later, whoever he was talking to in Los Angeles called him back and said, "I think you better check this out. John Lennon has been shot."
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was powerful. I mean, it was, if you're of a certain age, you remember when JFK was killed, was assassinated. If you're of a certain age, you remember the Challenger explosion.
Right, sure. Right?
I mean, those are, I think, pretty common moments of shock and grief that we've all experienced. But the John Lennon death was one that I think Shawnee hit our generation.
Oh yeah.
It was a baby boom tragedy.
Maybe, as much as some of the other earlier people, Elvis dying, or how about Buddy Holly, being killed in the plane crash. But you're right, though. Our age group specifically, for John Lennon, yes, indeed.
Yeah, yeah. My group, it was, you know, John Lennon was probably, you know, before our time as kids, but it was still hit home because our parents obviously knew, and we heard Beatles songs at that point. But I think like a few months later was when Ronald Reagan got shot.
Right. There was a 6-month period there where you had a John Lennon, then President Reagan, and then the Pope.
The Pope.
Yeah.
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 The Pope.
So I think Ronald Reagan was the first of those kind of events for my generation. And then, of course, Challenger. And that was a tough day. Obviously, it was only 2 days after the Bears won the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
That's right. Yep.
I wonder what John Lennon would, you know, had he lived, had this tragedy never happened, what kind of music would he be making
Who knows?
Now?
Who knows?
What would he be now? Like 80? He'd be in his early 80s,
well,
probably?
Let's see. How old is Paul McCartney right now? I think he was a little older than Paul.
I'm not sure if there. I think Paul is 80, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's not very close.
78, 79, something. Yeah. But, I mean, John was the rebel in the bunch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, John was the contrarian in the bunch. What would he be like today in 2024? What kind of music would he be making? What kind of statements would he be making? You know, he was very political. Back in the day, I mean, almost everybody was. Every, you know, performer had political statements that they were making, but very few, like John and Yoko.
Right, right. Very vocal about the Vietnam War,
yeah,
and the civil rights, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
sure.
Of the things that were going on then.
Right, right.
You know, what would they be saying and doing about things like that? We'll never know, of course. The 708 area code said, let me see here. The guy that killed him, that sort of doesn't make sense. I bet John Lennon at age 20 would have never thought his life would be half over, that he would be shot dead on this date in 1980 at age 40, and the guy that killed him, think how nice he was to him, giving him an autograph, and that's all he ever wanted. Yeah, well, that's there's a certain amount of irony in all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The what ifs of all of that, but you know, the John Lennon death was a pivotal date for lots of people. Indeed, it is 11:26. Not only my interview with Timothy Chalamet coming up, talking about his Bob Dylan movie, but also Dick Van Dyke turning 99 years old in just 5 days. Back in 2016, we went down to Danville, Illinois, his hometown, and we had a fantastic chat with Dick Van Dyke. We're going to share that with you coming up.
We're Chicago's very own WGN.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN.
How about that John Baez, folks?
That is actor Timothy Chalamet.
Sings pretty.
From the movie A Complete Unknown, where he covers the early career of the great Bob Dylan in this movie. Saw the movie the other day and really, really liked it. His performance is absolutely amazing in this. It opens on Christmas Day around the Chicago area. We sat in a Zoom call with Timothy to talk about the movie and taking on this role for somebody who is, you know, very much impersonated. It's got lots of verbal and physical quirks about him, both in his speaking and in his singing voice. And I wondered how Timothy dealt with all of that.
By osmosis, you know, just overwhelming myself with as much from that period as possible. And like I just said, being all-encompassing about it, you know, this was less the process of having five demarcated charts of what I had to work on, and more just taking it all in and seeing what came out. But more specific to what you're saying, of course, you know, seeing the footage from Don't Look Back or No Direction Home or you know, early interviews or obscure shows that Bob had gone on to play live in that period. Because this period of the movie, 61 to 65, particularly 61 to 63, you know, little exists of Bob. Obviously, you know, in the footage of Don't Look Back or Newport Folk Festival in 64, you know, stuff had percolated at that point. But the early stuff, you know, very, very little exists in those early years. So I tried to hew to what existed, and also just an audio to, even if video footage didn't exist,
yeah.
I tried to just be in that as much as possible.
Sure. What about the singing? I mean, I think, you know, that's what everybody's commenting on. What a great job you do in capturing the essence, not just sounding like him. You know, Dylan is maybe one of the most imitated people, but really kind of capturing the essence of his soul in his songs. How'd you prepare
these
for that?
Songs were and are deeply moving to me, and they've helped shape me the way Kid Cudi's music helped shape me in my teenage years. You know, this is the guy to me, and like you said, has been deeply impersonated, but I would say to my generation, hasn't been. I think I'm fair in saying that. Definitely to a younger generation. So I just I just lived it, you know, and when it came time to do it, did it. And the pre-records we had done in LA didn't sound as good as when I was doing it on set, because you had the gift of the actual vintage microphones that were used at the time and the gift of the reverb that existed in, you know, a big theater as opposed to what it would sound like at the Gaslight, where it was more enclosed. And you had the gift of, you know, fantastic background performers that are giving you, you know, that are sort of having the dialogue with you in a song. You know, Talking John Birch's Paranoid Blues isn't in the movie. You know, we shot a version of that, but, you know, having the audience reaction to the whimsical nature of that song as opposed to the almost violent reaction to Like a Rolling Stone at Newport, you know, that's stuff you can't really do in a studio. You find those levels. So it was really important to do live.
Could you relate in any way to the story of Dylan going from a young artist appearing in small clubs to suddenly becoming a worldwide phenomenon, to your own path of success? Were you able to bring some of that into this?
Yes, but I couldn't do so explicitly. You know, I couldn't put it into words. I think it's more just an experience, and also different because I'm not a musician, but definitely without being too, you know, definitive as an answer, because he damn sure wouldn't. I could definitely relate to that. You know, it goes without saying.
Yeah, there you go. It is 28-year-old Timothy Chalamet playing probably about, 20-ish aged Bob Dylan in this movie, A Complete Unknown. The movie opens on Christmas Day. I'll be telling you much more about it. I'll be interviewing the other cast members, including Edward Norton, who is amazing in this movie. I'm going to be recommending the film. I'll tell you much more about it when we get closer to the opening day. And in a moment, we celebrate Dick Van Dyke's 99th birthday with a trip back to our interview vault. Our conversation one-on-one with Dick Van Dyke is next.
Kiss.
One of the most classic songs from Dick Van Dyke, from Mary Poppins. We know him from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and, of course, his classic television show, The Dick Van Dyke Show. So many projects. Dick Van Dyke, believe it or not, is about to turn 99 years old and is just as spry, singing and dancing on videos, appearing on television shows. He was on Jimmy Kimmel's show the other night with Chris Martin from the group Coldplay. He is very, very vibrant, and I thought in honor of his 99th birthday, which will be on the 13th this coming week, that we would go back into our vaults and share the interview that we did with him when we went down to Danville, Illinois, his hometown, where it's honoring him, back in 2016. The great Dick Van Dyke.
The hotel, I say, that didn't
leave them the call. They didn't call me, and I missed the audition.
You drove all the way down there. That you didn't get your wake-up call and missed it.
Yeah.
Ruined your life.
Yeah, I would have been an announcer up in,
how about that?
In your end of the woods.
How about that? So what does it mean to you to be back here in Danville again?
Oh, God, it's just great. You know, I have a foundation, scholarships for kids who have talent. You know, most of the high schools around the country are losing art, music, drama, all that money's gone. We're raising a generation of robots because I do support a lot out there. But here, we're going to keep it going, and we're going to give scholarships to kids who've got talent, and there's a lot of them.
All through the Dick Van Dyke Foundation.
Through the Van Dyke Foundation, and that's my main reason to come here. They're refurbishing my childhood home, which I can't believe.
That's amazing.
God.
When you drive through town, does it look familiar to you? Does it look like a completely different place to you?
There are certain neighborhoods that are exactly the same. But a lot downtown areas, a lot of landmarks are gone that were there before. But I'll recognize them at my old high school here and the grade school. Everything's still there.
So what kind of a student was Dick Van Dyke here at good old Danville High?
I was a big man on campus. I was president of my class, vice president of the dramatic club, and didn't do very well in my studies. I didn't have time.
You're busy having fun.
Too social.
So you were involved in theatrical. You had the bug and kind of knew what you wanted to do even
back then. Well, I didn't, getting in show business was really over the rainbow. You never thought about it as a possibility. So I didn't really, but I was in all the shows. They wrote shows for teenagers back in those days. It were pretty, all propaganda. Release on Liberty and the boring. And the only musicals we got to do were operettas. Huh. Kids today get to do hit shows Broadway.
They're doing Bye Bye Birdie and like.
I know. I've seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
We did, The Merry Wives of Windsor.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. So from when did you actually leave Danville?
1947.
47.
Me and my buddy Phil got in his old Chevy, drove all. We were going to do an act for a lark. It was going to be an experience, and then we were going to come home and do something serious. And one thing led to another, and I never got home again.
Yeah, it got sidetracked away. You worked at a radio station here in Danville.
WDAN. Right. Everybody got drafted during the war, and I got the job at 17. Loved it. Just
that.
Loved it.
Was that sort of what that great Dick Van Dyke Show episode was based, where you did the DJ marathon?
That's right. Based on Danville, yeah.
Yeah.
I mentioned Danville a lot. I went to England to do Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and there was some question about my English accent, which is a big joke. And he said, you can just talk in your regular accent, but don't say you're from Danville.
Talking about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, how about this?
It's perfect.
Is this amazing?
About it. Took them 4 years, and it's a beautiful thing.
How do you feel sitting in it, and what kind of memories does it bring back?
Oh, my God, great memories. Great memories. It was such fun shooting that movie. Oh, my God. But the kids, I need the kids in back.
Right.
You know, at one point, it rained so much in England, we weren't getting any shooting done. So we went to the south of France. We're driving through vineyards. Couldn't possibly be England. Nobody's ever brought that up.
Yeah. Disney and Walt Disney Company really was such a big part of your early part of your movie career.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Wasn't it?
I was a big fan from the time I was a kid. It was such a thrill to actually end up working with them.
From the cartoons, from Mickey Mouse? And
My favorite was Pinocchio.
Pinocchio was
and Hi, Diddly Dee, an actor's life for me. I said, that's what I want.
Wow, it was your theme song.
Yeah. You know, the refurbishing Walt's home, childhood home in Chicago.
Right.
We're going up.
Where you'll be on Sunday.
Yeah. I'm so tickled about this. But the whole thing is raising money for the foundation. I saw a performance of Bye Bye Birdie here. Couldn't believe the talent of those kids. And they've got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Nowhere to train.
That's great that you're making that opportunity available to them and giving them, the kind of opportunity. Because things have changed so much, haven't they? With electronics and YouTube and things like that, there's no place to get actual practical experience in front of human beings.
Out in Los Angeles, I don't think there's one high school that has an art program, a dramatic program, anything of the kind. Those things are all gone for lack of money. We're raising a generation of robots, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We've got to keep some culture going.
I wonder if you, you know, reflect on what classics you've made. Not only Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but Mary Poppins is still one of the biggest shows on Broadway. When it's on television, everybody stops what they're doing. It's appointment television to watch you and Julie Andrews.
You know, but one of the few, excuse me, I'm making a movie, you're not knowing, you know, how it's going. Is it any good? Every day we came in, we knew something very special was happening. There was just a magic about it. Every day when we came to work, it just, we knew it was going to be something. It was a joy every minute.
Was it unlike any kind of other movie experience that you've done? Because for its day, the special effects were pretty amazing.
For their time.
Yeah.
I've often thought if computer graphics were around, Walt would be like a kid in a toy store. Wouldn't he have had... He missed all that.
Yeah. You must have been dancing and performing to what? I mean, with some of the scenes that you were doing that they later on put you in with the
with
special
the penguins,
effects, with the penguins and so forth. What were you actually seeing during that?
Nothing. I was with the animators. And, fortunately, I love mime anyway.
Right.
They would tell me where they are, how tall they were, what moves to make. And I finally saw a penciled-in animation. I couldn't believe my eyes.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It turned out so good.
More with our interview with Dick Van Dyke from 2016, which he talks more about the Dick Van Dyke Show and sings the lyrics to the famous Dick Van Dyke Show theme. We'll get to all that coming up after a check of WGN News.
Chim, chiminy, chim, chiminy, chim, chim, cheree. A sweep is as lucky can be.
10:38, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. Good to be back. Thank you again for all of the well wishes that you've been emailing, texting, putting on social media since my COVID-19 positive test result. Feeling much better. Glad to be back. Thanks again, Elton Jim Toronto, filled in for me last week. Appreciate that. We're celebrating Dick Van Dyke's 95th birthday today. Jim, wouldn't that be something if years from now we're sitting here celebrating your 95th birthday?
Well, I'm planning on being here, and hopefully you will too.
After all those decades, still arguing over whether it's a brooch or a festive holiday pin, I fell. But anyway, that's the anniversary of that. You know, maybe one of those.
What I heard, Lin-Manuel and Emily Blunt is going to take Mary.
You can't match the Sherman Brothers. Every song they wrote was a one you'll remember.
Yeah, and I don't think you can match Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke either for the magic and what made that so magical.
I've had all my leading ladies. I've lucked out. Wonderful, Mary Tyler Moore and Julie Andrews. Everybody's just been a doll. I've never had to put up with one of those divas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think nice people beget nice people.
I hope you're right.
I think that's in my. Pleasure to have interviewed you on my radio show a couple of times. You've always been so nice, and
we've done before.
I mean, you've been interviewed a million times by people. I don't expect you to remember, but we've a couple of times that you've been in Chicago. We've had you at WGN. And you've done some stuff.
I think you're late, but
I never expect anybody to remember after as many interviews as you must have done through the years, and as many times as you must have talked about the classic Dick Van Dyke Show, but it's still amazing to me how it holds up and how timeless it is.
Yep, Carl Reiner, just brilliant. You know, at the very outset, he said, I don't care how silly you get, as long as it's credible, as long as there's a reason that happened. You don't want any funny stuff for no reason. So he kept it credible, kept everybody believable. And of course, the greatest cast that was ever put together. It was part of Maury Amson used to say it's like going to a party every morning.
Yeah.
We rewrote all week, did a lot of improv, and it was just, I'd still be doing it if they let me.
Yeah.
I miss it.
You wanted to continue, didn't you?
Oh, I never wanted to stop.
It's CBS that wanted to stop.
Well,
and then
Carl,
they tried to blame it on you, didn't they?
That's what I read.
That's what I read in your book. They're trying to blame it on you, and you didn't want to stop.
No, Carl said at the beginning, 5 years would be it. He felt that you got repetitive after that. But look at shows that ran 11 years. We could have gone on. The first year he wrote all 39 episodes by himself.
Wow.
Incredible. He's still, you know, he's 93 now. Still got all his marbles and is still writing.
Yeah, I follow him on Twitter. I don't know.
Oh, do you?
Are you on? Are you on social media?
Oh, sure.
At all? Because I see the things that I think are you, but I follow Carl religiously.
Oh yeah, he spends a lot
because
of time.
He puts on such great things and interesting things.
He was like
things.
A father to me. He was my mentor.
Yeah. Have you ever had that kind of chemistry again with a cast, with a group of people? That seems like lightning in a bottle. That
it was. We were like an improv group. Somebody could give us a subject and we could do it without a script. It was just one of those great moments when everything was fun to do. The most creative 5 years of my life.
I love, we have shown on our morning TV show on WGN videos of you and your wife. And it was a bluegrass band. I don't recall the name of the band. But
oh, the Dust Bowl Revival.
We've had them on the show.
The Dust Bowl Revival. Aren't they great?
We've had them. They're so fantastic.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything that we like more than watching you dancing around.
They came out to the house.
They came out to your house. And you were dancing. You still have your moves. You haven't slowed down a bit, it doesn't seem like.
Fred Astaire, when he was in his 80s, I said, can you still dance? He said, yeah, but it hurts now.
Yeah.
I said, I know what you mean.
Is that what your experience? but you really seem to love it and enjoy keeping very active. We see you in videos with these flash mobs where you've done Let's Go Fly a Kite and, you know, some of the outdoor things. You really still seem to love
it. I have a quartet. Three guys half my age, and we do all the things from, you know, pop and stuff. But we dance and everything. We're going to appear at the Tivoli in Chicago.
In Downers Grove.
When we're there.
Right.
I can't wait to. We're going to sing the Danville High School fight song. They don't think we know it. We're going to do it.
This was back in 2016 that we went down to Danville and talked with Dick Van Dyke. That was a compilation that we had replayed. That's why you heard that little conversation there when we replayed it. But you can hear the full interview if you go to WGNradio.com. That's where it is posted. It's all in honor of Dick Van Dyke's 99th birthday, which is on December 13th. Have I seemed nervous to you today? Nervous, anxiety-filled?
No, not necessarily. Not any more than usual. Why are you nervous about something specific?
No, I feel I went through something very traumatic yesterday.
What?
Life-changingly traumatic.
Okay.
I went to a Costco store on a Saturday afternoon.
Holy mackerel.
I feel like I have postpartum disorder or whatever it's called. PTSD.
Wow.
Not postpartum.
That's a daring endeavor.
I don't know why I did it.
Why did you do this?
Well, I had some things to buy, and I forgot that it was Saturday. Like, what, three Saturdays before Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
And I got there, and it's like I'm getting my cart. And, you know, you have to get a full search before you come in.
Well, first of all, you were able to find a parking space. Apparently.
I found a parking space. I got lucky with the parking space. But then, you know, I go in, and it takes forever to go in. It's packed. And, you know, I do a little shopping. By the way, I ate a few little appetizers also.
Do you cover up your cart at Costco like you do at Jewel also?
I did not cover the cart yesterday.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
I haven't done that in a while. I haven't covered up my cart in a while.
Okay.
Thanks for reminding me.
So you'll do it next time.
But I went to the checkout, and it was like 20 people in every checkout line.
Oh, yeah.
It took forever to get out of there.
But you made it out in one piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was like a very traumatic experience.
No, you don't seem any more wound up than you normally do. You know. You were actually very nice to me when I saw you in the hall before the show this morning.
That was an accident. I thought you were somebody else. I hadn't seen you in a while.
Oh, hi there. Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that you've gone to see theater when you were on vacation.
Yeah.
You went to see theater.
Yeah.
You went to see the movie Wicked.
Highly recommend it. I want to go see this Bob Dylan movie, too.
You're going to love the Bob Dylan movie. And I recommended Million Dollar Quartet to Schwanee out at the Stolp Island Theater right next door to the Paramount.
That is on the schedule.
Yeah, that's going to blow your mind when you see that.
No, that and, you know, first of all, we had the performance, the live performances at Tree Time.
Right.
Which, can you believe, has been a month ago already?
I know.
And then the fact that you were describing the way in which the lobby is set up to make it look like the Sun Record Studio.
Yep.
Well, okay, I'm all in.
You're in.
Should I bring out my 45s and show everybody when I'm there?
I wish you would.
So I could get arrested? Is that what it is?
Yes, exactly. So you get arrested. I just want you to go and enjoy the show. So
I will.
While you're watching it, you'll go, Dean, you were right again.
I'll text you.
How can I ever question you when you give me advice on things?
When was the last time I did that?
All the time. Questioned you?
No.
All the time.
No, I wouldn't do that. But I will. I'll give you reports from the theater.
Yes, please do.
Okay. All right.
I've already blocked you on my phone, but you can you can try to do that.
Dean Richards, WGN.
Who likes Christmas cookies?
I do.
I do. I do.
I'm going to be doing some baking on my TV cooking segment this coming week. You have a favorite Christmas cookie?
All of them.
Yeah, that would have been my answer, too. It's pretty hard to find something like you don't like. It's like going to a box of Maurice Lanelle cookies.
Oh, wow.
With all the variety of things.
Oh, boy.
Try to find something in there that you don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the
any and all Christmas goodies. Christmas take all of them.
Sugar cookies are yummy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I tend to like cookies with nuts. Do you like nuts in your cookies?
With or without, sure. Yeah, a lot of people say I'm nuts anyway, so you know.
I was at a holiday party last night, and anything with frosting.
Mm.
They had somebody made something yesterday. It looked like a ding dong. Remember the ding dong?
Sure.
Okay, so it was white frosting. I think it was white chocolate, and it wrapped around an Oreo, and it looked like a hockey puck.
Oh boy,
keep me away from that.
Yeah.
So good.
I just saw a recipe for that the other day.
Oh, make it, please.
Where it's like chocolate covered Oreos.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
This was the recipe that I saw was. Like traditional, you know, dark chocolate.
Mm, this was white.
Not super dark chocolate, like semi-sweet.
And it had little strands of green and red frosting on it, too.
Fancy.
So it was just really good.
Fancy.
Really good.
Yeah, that's good. What do I like? I like, there's a bunch of Greek holiday cookies that are made this time of year. One is with like a ton of powdered sugar on it. That's really good and is really fun. When we were kids, you'd get one of these and then go stand next to your brother and blow all the powdered sugar onto your brother.
This is why they left you at the movie theater.
This is why they deserted me.
Yes.
Yeah, this is why. Well, this was many years after that, so I like to see it as my retribution. My brothers would desert me when we would all go to the theater together. But it's, you know, it's a traditional. How do you not have a powdered sugar cookie and, you know, you're getting powdered sugar all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's delicious. There's like honey-soaked cookies. You know what I love? I love a rum ball.
Yes, definitely.
You like rum balls?
Definitely. Rum balls and a nut roll.
Nut roll.
You haven't had that?
I'm not sure.
Oh. Okay, that's what I'm bringing in. I'll bring in a nut roll.
You're going to make nut rolls?
I'm not going to make them, but I know where to get one. And I'm going to...
Why don't you make one?
I'm not that good. I can do the cranberry...
Oh, come on.
One step at a time. I did the cranberry salad.
How hard can it be? Nut roll. You're a nut roll.
Yeah, it's what I was saying a moment ago.
Let's see how hard it is. Oh, here's Grandma. Oh, well, this is a little tricky. Grandma's nut roll recipe. It almost looks like a bread.
Right. That's right. A bread with filling in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you would lay out the dough.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put the nut filling on it and then
roll it up. That's right.
You roll it up and bake it.
Bake it. Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Put some cinnamon on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shwani, this is not that hard.
No, you don't. Okay. All right. I'll give it a try. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Depending on what you have to put in the filling, though.
Well, I'm looking at the recipe here. It is actually a little bit challenging. You could do it with, like canned pastry dough.
Yeah, I guess you could.
You don't have to make the dough yourself. You get a nice canned pastry, lay it out flat, roll it out a little bit, get the chopped nuts and sugar and all that stuff in there, and lay it out and then roll it up.
Yeah.
Bake it and then cut it.
Yeah. We had cookie cutters when I was a kid that were in the shapes of Santa Claus and a star and things like that, and nothing really fancy, but, you know, my mother would roll out the dough and then sprinkle those little sprinkle things on top.
Sure.
Or make an icing and then put it on top there. Those were good.
Did you help?
No.
Nice.
I just ate them.
Nice.
You helped to eat them.
Your mom slaved over the
both my parents did.
Oh, your dad did too?
Oh, and he loved making a cookie that was some sort of a meringue thing that you would bake. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Just really got into that. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me with your dad.
No, he had the patience to do it where you had to, you know, separate the yolk from the egg whites do all of that. He had the patience to do it.
That's how you make
it. And it came out. Yeah.
Got news for you. Separating the yolk from the egg from the white is not that difficult, by the way.
No. All right. You know the old routine, the Three Stooges, separate two eggs where you just put them on the opposite side of the table.
I did see that just the other day.
Separate two eggs. But seriously, he would make those meringue cookies.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That was a specialty this time of year.
My mom and my grandmother, right around this time of year, early December, they would start making Greek pastries. And it can be pretty involved process. But they would make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and make, like gift baskets and gift platters of these homemade pastries, cookies, all very traditional. And I would help out, unlike you being the ungrateful son that you are, not lifting a finger to help. I would pitch in and help.
And what were these things along the line of a cookie, a baklava? What was it?
They made baklava. They made some cookies. These honey, they're very traditional for Christmas. Is a honey soaked cookie. It's called melomakarana.
What is it?
Melomakarana.
Okay.
It's delicious.
I'm going to write this down.
Yeah. You do that.
No.
How do you spell that?
Yeah. How do you spell it?
You know, common spelling. they would make those. They would make these powdered sugared things. They would make these pastries called diplas that is just a flat piece of dough, and you cut it into squares and then fry it. And they twirl, they curl up in the oil. And then you take them out and you pour this syrup and nuts over it. It's delicious. But I would help out. I would be there cutting the dough. I would be there, doing whatever I could, pitching in, because that's what families do.
And your point is?
You didn't do anything.
Well, if my mother made chocolate chip cookies, I would, clean out the bowl.
Lick the spoon?
Yeah. And she made great chocolate chip cookies, I can tell you.
There's nothing better than a really good chocolate chip cookie. You know what I always used to enjoy? Licking the mixer
thing. The mixing, right? The, yeah. the things that the were thing, in
what's
the...
It called?
Right.
The toilet.
The beaters. In the
beaters.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the beaters. Mixing bowls, yeah.
She would mix up something with the beaters, and you want to lick the beaters? It's like, bet I do. Kidding me?
It was very tasty. Yeah. The chocolate chip cookie batter is very tasty.
Yeah, who cares if I'm eating raw eggs and might get salmonella? That's okay. Don't worry.
Well worth it, right?
You've got three other sons if this one dies. Don't worry.
Oh! Did your other brothers help out with all of this?
Of course not.
You were the only one.
No, I was the only caring son.
But they would wait until they were done, and then they ate all of it.
Then they would eat the spoils, yes.
That Boy, is I'll bet those pastries your mother and grandmother made were fantastic.
They were amazing.
I'll bet.
They were amazing, and to watch them, I wish... I was just, maybe five or 6 years old then, but I was too young. But how great would it have been to have been able to videotape
Absolutely.
Them? Absolutely. Doing that?
Oh.
Listening to
them. To their conversations?
Their conversations and, the proportions and just capturing that moment. Because that is such a vivid memory in my mind of my mother and grandmother really preparing any meal. They were both amazing cooks. But the machine that they put together in this tiny little kitchen, I don't know how they did it in this tiny little kitchen to make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pastries is just a fantastic memory that I have in my head that I wish my nieces and nephews could see.
Absolutely, and then they would make platters or plates, cookie plates, and give them to friends, family,
little
neighbors.
Baskets, little baskets of pastries and, like a gift for
Absolutely, sure.
For people.
Yeah, we did the same thing.
Homemade pastries, can't beat that.
No, we did the same thing. In fact, if people came over there, they'd go home with a plate of cookies.
Yeah.
Was what we did, yeah.
It was good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. So anyway, I'm going to be on my TV cooking segment this week. I'm going to be making rum balls.
So you're going to go with the rum balls?
I'm going rum ball.
Okay.
I'm going full rum ball. Because you know what? I think that a lot of people have traditional cookies, recipes that they make for their families. I'm not going to reinvent that wheel. Because, people, they like what they like for their families. It's tradition. I don't know if rum balls are that much, that common. But it's really super easy, and they're super, super delicious. And, you get a little rum in the deal.
Perfect.
That never hurt.
But they do have a wonderful flavor, with the rum and the batter and the dough use. Yeah.
Oh, yes. And the rum.
Mm-hmm.
And the rum and the rum. I enjoyed a little rum around the holidays.
This show could get interesting with all that rum around there.
We should do a show where we sip rum throughout the show.
You think so?
Oh, man.
And see how it...
how that ends up?
Yes. See what station we wind up working at when that's all over. Yeah. WGN. It's Dean Richards Food Time. Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show.
Happiest season.
We now have taken it to television. And every Wednesday, right around 9:30 in the morning, is when I get behind the stove and we cook up some great things. Made some great holiday appetizers this past week. Made some spinach. Spinach tortellini skewers, super easy holiday appetizer, and very festive, I might add. You get a bag of spinach tortellini, on the shelf, cook it per directions, and then let it cool, set it aside. You get some, festive toothpicks, something to use for the skewers, and you put a piece of tortellini on the skewer. You put a mozzarella ball on the skewer, and then you put a cherry tomato on the skewer. It's a little kind of green and reddish, very holiday-ish. And then once you've assembled a platter of these skewers, sprinkle a little pesto sauce on top of the whole thing. It's incredibly delicious. I made a feta cheese puff pastry. Took some puff pastry, you know, spread it out on a board, cut it into equal squares, and then took a spoonful of crumbled feta cheese that I crumbled myself. I never buy crumbled feta cheese ever. I never buy, you know, shredded or, you know, grated cheese ever. I always do it myself because all the crumbled versions, the shredded versions, etc., have fillers and chemicals and things that I don't want to put in my food. So anyway, I crumbled the feta cheese. I put a little dill, fresh dill into it, mixed it all up, and then put a little dollop of the feta cheese in the puffed pastry and folded it over like a triangle. Did a whole platter of those, baked them for, I think it was like 20 minutes, something like that. I did a little egg wash on top of it before I put it in the oven. Some sesame seeds, put it in the oven, came out 20 minutes later, delicious little appetizers. In puff pastry, not phyllo dough, but similar to the same kind of dough. What else? You can see all my recipes if you want on WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. That's where we put all the recipes. That's where we put all the videos so you can see what's going on. And this coming Wednesday, I'm going to be doing some holiday pastries, desserts. Among them are just good old-fashioned rum balls, which are so easy to make, incredibly easy to make. And here you take a box of vanilla wafers. Nilla wafers, I believe, is what Nabisco calls them. But they're, you know, it's like a 14-ounce box, whatever, of Nilla wafers. You take a cup of powdered sugar, a couple of tablespoons of cocoa powder, a couple of tablespoons of white corn syrup, and about a third of a cup of actual rum. You put the vanilla wafers into a food processor, and you pulse them into, you know, like very fine crumbs. Now, I happen to also like nuts in my rum balls. So I'm going to take about a cup of walnuts and also pulse that in with the vanilla wafers. I don't want them quite as fine as the vanilla wafers, so maybe I'll do the vanilla wafers first and then throw the nuts in there so they're a little more coarsely chopped. But those are going to go in. Then the powdered sugar in another bowl of the powdered sugar. The cocoa and the corn syrup are all mixed together. And then you put in the third of a cup of rum and mix that together with your wet ingredients. And then take the dry and the wet and mix them all together till they get very doughy-like. Take a teaspoon or like a tiny little melon baller, something like that, and form them into little balls. And you simply put them on a plate, you know, and let them set for a little while. Once they have set for a little while, take some cocoa powder, or powdered sugar, whatever topping that you would like to put on it, and just, you know, cover them up. And you can store them at room temperature. You can freeze them. If you freeze them, obviously you need to bring them up to room temperature before serving. But these things are not even, you don't even have to bake these. You know, these are, you know, cooked. These are prepared, really, just without any baking, without any heat source. And they are absolutely delicious. I'm going to be doing that on TV. I'm going to be cooking those this coming Wednesday morning, right around 9:30. So, you know, you can look for those recipes. If you've got a recipe, I would love for you to share it. 312-981-7200. Almost forgot the phone number. 630 area code says, where is the recipe for the goat cheese and fig that you talked about last week. Didn't get the whole recipe. Well, I think these were, I don't even remember that, actually. Remember the goat? I think it was just a little dollop of goat cheese with a little dollop of fig spread that was right in the middle of it, and you sort of made it into a ball. Honestly, I don't remember even talking about that. But here's the 815 area code. It says, Dean, my mother always said the best cooks had the smallest kitchens. She, like your mother, could make anything out of nothing. Happy holidays. Boy, that's the truth. Here is, and phyllo cups. Somebody is reminding me now. A phyllo, you take a phyllo cup. I do remember this now. A phyllo cup, you put some goat cheese in there, and then a little dollop of fig, and there you go. Somebody sent in a recipe for the peppermint bark. This is something traditional that they make in their house. Peppermint bark recipe that looks pretty simple. Let me take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll share that with you. Love to get your recipes, too. You can text them in if you want, 312-981-7200, or you can call in, 312-981-7200. One for Christmas is you and a nice big platter of Christmas cookies. Oh, baby, those are good. Yeah, I've got some recipes coming in on our text line. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. If you want to call in a little recipe and some fantastic Christmas texts that some of you are sharing. Somebody sent in 773 area code. This is the Dean, this is the best ever chocolate chip cookie recipe. All right, well, let's take a look here and see what we've got. There are 2 sticks of unsalted butter. I like it already. There's 3/4 of a cup of sugar. I'll post this, so I'm not going to give you the proportions here. Some brown sugar, some vanilla, some hazelnut, little chocolate liqueur, some eggs, flour, baking soda, salt, half a bag of milk chocolate chips, and a half a bag of semi-sweet chocolate chips. Also some walnuts, pecans, and macadamia nuts. Wow. With all those nuts and you got the coffee liqueur in there. That sounds like a good recipe right now. But it says that you take the first 6 ingredients would be the butter, sugar, brown sugar, vanilla, hazelnut liqueur, and coffee liqueur, and mix that up with an electric mixer. You add the eggs in and beat that into the mixture as well. Then in a separate bowl, your dry mixtures, the flour, baking soda, and salt, and then mix that into the batter that you just made. Stir in the chocolate chips, stir in the chopped nuts, and then, put them on cookie sheets, ungreased cookie sheets, and bake them for about 16 minutes, 325 degrees Fahrenheit. Throw them on a wire rack after that, and 773 area code says these are the best chocolate chip cookies that they have ever had. So I'm going to take your word for that. I love a good chocolate chip cookies. On the Rumble front, it says here from the 630 area code, if you make them right after Thanksgiving and store them airtight and then plate them with a little sifted powdered sugar at Christmas time, they take on a new life. Maybe you don't want to share the rum balls after that. Well, that's very interesting. Yeah, that's the thing about the rum balls, that they have a pretty good shelf life. You can make them ahead of time, which is great because everybody is so busy this time of year, and store them. Here's a 773 area code that says, Dean, when my brother was stationed in Vietnam in 1969, we discovered that cookies didn't survive the shipping, but rum balls, individually wrapped in foil, were an enormous hit. Okay, so there you go. They also apparently travel very well as well. 312-981-7200. I was talking about those the peppermint bark recipe that someone had sent in. This is one of my favorite Christmas desserts. I mean, they're very festive. It's very delicious. It's classic peppermint bark, which is layers of white and dark chocolate with crushed candy canes on top of it. And somebody had sent in that you take semi-sweet chocolate chips, put them in a medium-sized bowl, and microwave them in 30-second increments until they are melted. Stir them up until it's all smooth. It happens pretty fast. So then you take the melted chocolate chips and spread them into a 9x13 rectangular pan with some parchment paper in there as well. So you're going to put it right on top of the parchment paper, the chocolate. Put that then into the fridge for about 10 minutes. You don't want it to get super, super set, but you want it to get partially set. About 10 minutes is what they recommend. And it says here that the chocolate should set around the edges, and that's when you take the white chocolate chips and put those in a medium bowl and microwave those in 30-second increments until they are melted, and then throw in a little peppermint extract on top of it, and stir all that up until it's nice and smooth. And then you spread the white chocolate over the semi-sweet chocolate layer. Okay, so now you've got the fresh layer of white chocolate on there. And you're going to take some candy canes and, you know, bust them up a little bit. And just sprinkle those on top of the setting white chocolate. Sprinkle them, you know, liberally. Put the whole thing in the fridge for about 20 minutes until the whole thing hardens up, freezes up. And you're good to go then. Take it out of the fridge. Let it sit at room temperature for about 20 minutes before you serve it. Take a chef's knife to the whole thing and cut the bark into, you know, serving pieces. And enjoy. You know, there's nothing better. And how many ingredients in this? Hardly any. The semi-sweet chocolate chips, the white chocolate chips, the peppermint extract, and the crushed candy canes. That's it. Four ingredients. You can't beat that. I've done recipes also where you take saltines, spread those out in a pan, and do something similar with the chocolate. You don't need to put two layers of chocolate, but you can. You can put as many layers as you want, but one layer works perfectly. On top of the just regular old saltine crackers, melt the chocolate, lay that on top of there, and let it set, you know, bust up the peppermint candy, the candy canes, and sprinkle those on top, and you're good to go. You know, very, very simple. So, yeah, we'll post all of these recipes. And again, we're going to be doing some baking. Well, not even baking, really. We're going to assemble the rum balls. I'll show you how easy it is to do on my TV cooking segment this coming Wednesday morning at 9:30 on the WGN TV Morning News. I hope you can watch. All right, that's going to wind it up for us today. Appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you stopping by every Sunday morning for some laughs. We look forward to being with you on Bob Surratt Show Monday through Friday from 8 to 8:30. We always have a lot of fun talking about entertainment and sharing our A-list interviews. This coming week, Timothy Chalamet and the cast of his new Bob Dylan movie that is called A Complete Unknown. It doesn't open until Christmas Day, but we'll share some of those interviews on Bob's show this upcoming week. And, of course, on the WGN TV Morning News. We've got lots of great A-list interviews to share with you. We've got Jeremy Piven, who's going to be joining us this week. We've got, lots of A-listers and the stars talking about their movies. And, of course, we are cooking on Wednesday morning at 9:30 as well. So I hope you'll listen for that. Stand by, because Steve Dale is coming up next. Hope you have a wonderful Sunday. I thank you so much for listening.